And hello everyone, Namu Myoho Renge Kyo. I hope this video finds you well, feeling well today. If not, hopefully it will help you find the right aspect, the right insight, the right inspiration for your renewed vigor in practice and therefore your life condition. Namu Myoho Renge Kyo. All right, we are continuing. Break the spine on this book. excuse me, on the letter to, I want to say her name right, Konichibo, a lay nun of Lotus Sutra practice, one of a convert to Nichiren's scholarship, if you will, on the Lotus Sutra, who not long ago lost her son, a samurai. And so he's, her concern as she wrote a letter to him was on the karma of her son, the meaning of his life in terms of he was a professional assassin, a warrior, and yet a very devout follower of Nichiren's doctrines. So how do the two play against each other, right? So Nichiren, as we heard in part one, spent a lot of time giving her examples throughout not only history, but the teachings, the storytelling of Buddhism, repeating the meaning of the discovery of one's Buddha nature in one's lifetime. Many people are not born into Myoho Renge Kyo, per se, the practice of Myoho Renge Kyo. And so everyone really enters this practice after living one's momentum, one's karmic reality for some time. So we all have regrets. We all have things we've done that we're not particularly proud of or even outright ashamed of. From small to large. But the promise of Myoho Renge Kyo, the promise of the ultimate method of practicing the Buddha's teachings, the Dharma, provides that to the degree that you're committed. We talk about resolve all the time, resolute mind, having conviction in what you might say, sorry, food, not my fingers, what's on my fingers. The promise is that we all already have a clear mind of Buddha wisdom, that Buddhahood is innate. Man, I don't know what I got all over me, but you know, that that all that's required really is to be disillusioned. Did I say that wrong? To discard our delusions. Because they're in the way of our seeing clearly the process of life and that deep awareness that makes us calm, joyful, and compassionate. Because when you understand the whole picture, the process of life, there are no more shocks. There are no more really swinging emotions from elation to hell, to anguish. Because your understanding is so profound that all of it, though it may raise feelings, I'm not saying we become sociopaths with no empathy, quite the contrary. Our empathy comes from our deep, profound understanding of the way the life process works. And so nothing shocks us anymore. It may alert us. What I'm saying is we don't have this broad band of emotion swinging us every which way from moment to moment. we reduce that, we calm that down so we can see objectively and respond accordingly. Bodhisattva practice. But all of that is to say that we all make mistakes. Certainly, not just prior to our adopting Myoho Renge Kyo and practicing, but even while practicing, we're still human. We're still in the game, as it were. So it takes a very serious degree of commitment to re-steer, to influence the course of our lower world's momentum to the point where we not only shift course, but we influence the course from whence it came in a positive manner. Kind of a karmic time machine, if you will. Really, truly. Only through Myoho Renge Kyo, the only extant teaching that demonstrates how we can do that. So Nichiren is reminding this grieving mother that although your son did some heinous things, murdered, took lives at the behest of his lord, his ruler, his owner, if you will, much like a modern day soldier, our 20-year war in Afghanistan and in the Middle East entirely and all over the world, the United States is an aggressor, and they send young men to sort of put their knee on the throat of other cultures. Whether or not that's appropriate, I'll let you be the judge. As a Buddhist, I live very strictly by the rule that violence begets violence, but I also understand balance. We are in samsara. And if harming somebody is the only seeable path in order to stop a great number of ills, a great number of, you know, you could say murder is terrible no matter what, but as we've read already and in this Gosho, if you kill a serial killer just as he's about to continue his murdering spree, and by stopping him or her in order to not be killed yourself, you must harm them to the point that they die. That's not to say that murder is justifiable, but the cause and effect relationship is far different. And that brings me to my next point. We're not completely aware of all of the karma that comes, that we are a formation of in our lives. Look at the playlist on the 3000 Realms, Origin of Life, where we actually come from. We're not aware of all the complexities of the energies that make up what we call a self, which is the primary delusion, right? So when we go to Gohonzon and we chant that we find a better job, or that our sickness starts to heal, or that a sibling has a easier time of things, whatever motivates us to chant to our mandala of Gohonzon, those are obvious things we're experiencing. But understand this, that while you chant, while you are in the act of practicing the method of Myoho Renge Kyo, you are doing far more than that. though you may well be unaware, as a human, you simply are. Your human experience hasn't yet fathomed this entire ship of life that you represent. And when we chant the Daimoku, Myoho Renge Kyo, look at my videos on the nine consciousnesses. I have some white papers on the threefoldlotus.com site that you can read on that, the nine consciousnesses. That Daimoku, that call, that invocation for our clear-minded Buddha nature, that can see our entire ship of karma, if you will. And we begin to affect, we begin to influence and alter not only the karma, the residual or the experiential karma that we are seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, so on, in this lifetime, but the roots of those things that we experience, that karma, that makeup that brings us to this experiential moment, is too being affected, altered, diminished, or expanded, as it were. That karma that gives us the good fortune to even be communicating with one another right now. That's amazing fortune. And whatever karmic energies are behind that, boy, expand that. Yeah, grow that, right? And as we've already learned, that karma, as it goes far deeper than our simple birth into this samsaric existence, predates it, is shared by all of our ancestors, all of our filial relationships, all of our genetic relationship into our past and into our future. How could it not go into our future? We're altering ourselves right now. How does that not make a difference for our offspring? It's just logic, really. So this is how Nichiren is speaking to Konichibo, so that he can understand her grieving and show her that he understands her grieving, but at the same time showing her how our practice, and certainly from her dedicated son, was resolute. And one final point before we continue. We don't know how hard, how resolute, how committed we have to be in order to change some of the karma that's behind our momentum. Sometimes just chanting casually will suffice for us to feel a difference, to notice that, wow, things are different. That doesn't mean they can't slide back, because it depends on how deeply you affect your karma. But the thing is, if you do feel something, then you have what we call actual proof. That's a big motivator, isn't it? Right? If you want to be stronger and you drink and eat certain kinds of food, and within a week you see how much muscle mass or quickness that you're developing, alertness, then you want to keep doing it. Right? If you're trying to lose weight and you've tried everything, but you're trying something and it works a little slower, maybe it's keto, maybe it's something else, and you see demonstrable change, depends on how much convincing you need, but that's usually what it takes for our human attachments, our attachment engine, to say, well, that's a good thing. I want to keep more of that in my life, right? And eventually it becomes obvious that all that fortune comes from our karmic engine, our momentum. And here's the tool to help you augment it where it needs to be augmented, and diminish it where you don't even, it's kind of cloudy and dark, those avenues that create your misfortune, your suffering. So I guess that's a kind of a way to remind you again that you never can't go deeper in your commitment. Truly, we are in samsara. And in order to release ourselves from the bindings of samsara requires tremendous commitment. And that's what really drives this Buddhism, this practice. Right? Okay, so let's continue. In any event, Nichiren says, even though the parents may be evildoers, if the child is good, the parents' offenses will be forgiven. So we just talked about this lineage thing. If both your parents are serial killers, just because you're born to them does not mean you also have to be a serial killer. But because both of them are serial killers, there is a tendency, remember tendencies and conditions, there is a tendency that exists within you to nurture that behavior, right? The same way as if your friend, you find out your friend that's been friend for years, suddenly appears to be a thief. You didn't know this, but suddenly it manifests. And you don't like it. But he's your friend, or she's your friend. And you continuously justify being her friend because you've been friends for so long. And you decide, you'll say something maybe the first or second time and she'll react badly and you'll say, well, I guess I'll just have to accept that about her or him. And unfortunately, by doing that, your behavior, your cause is that that's really not so bad. And that influences your little thief tendencies to go, really? Well, maybe we can do it, you know, from time to time, not like your friend. It just takes that much, right? Because that tendency is in all of us. But certainly it awakens with our friendships, our commitments to others who we realize are nurturing those karmas. This is why Nichiren says the greatest enemy is your best friend. Not because best friends are bad, but because through them, you can manifest a lot of negative tendencies that you wouldn't otherwise have manifested. And especially when it comes to your practice of Buddhism, they are the ones who can be the greatest obstacle, wooing you away from your commitment. On the other hand, although the child may have been an evil, unlife-affirming, negative doer, if the parents are good persons, their child's faults will be pardoned. Or probably better stated, have the potential to be lessened. It's easier to lessen the karmic causes of the child because it doesn't come through a long lineage. The momentum is less. The kinetic energy is less. It's there, and it must be dealt with. But it won't be as difficult as somebody who comes through a lineage of that negative karma. Does that make sense? Hence, he continues, even though your late son Yashiro committed evil, remember, samurai murderer, if you, the mother who gave birth to him, grieve for him, and offer meditations for him day and night in the presence of Shakyamuni Buddha, in other words, Daimoku Gohanzon, how could he not be saved? Moreover, because he believed in the Lotus Sutra, he may have become the one who will lead his parents to Buddhahood. You understand that we've already talked a lot about this ancestral connection, right? He's not here, but all the causes he made toward the Lotus Sutra are not lost. He has forever changed that energy. It's no longer kinetic. It's now melded with the potential. Well, as long as it's in the potential, it's a positive influence on all the energy of what? The life process. Those who believe in the Lotus Sutra should beware of and guard themselves against the sutra's enemies. You should know that the Nembutsu monks, the observers of the precepts, and the teachers of the True Word School, in fact, all those who refuse to chant Namo Myoho Renge Kyo, are the enemies of the Lotus Sutra, no matter how earnestly they may read it. If you do not know your enemies, you will be deceived by them. How I wish I could see you personally and talk to you about these matters in detail. Whenever you see Samibo or Sadoko, who will visit your area from the Minobu, have them read this letter to you. Place it in the custody of Myoebo. Those lacking in wisdom would no doubt mock me or criticize this letter as mere clever words on my part. Or they would compare me with others saying, quote, this monk could never match the great teacher Kobo or surpass the great teacher Chikaku. Consider those who say such things ignorant. So many things pointed out, so many behaviors, so many trip falls, so much wisdom in that sutra. In that Gosho, I mean. It's clear that he feels a very strong kinship with this woman, simply because he was born in the same area. And, you know, unlike today where we hop on a plane and we move our whole family to another country, people were pretty set in their geographic locations, their cultural realities as a result, their community, right? So Nichiren still has, and he talked about it in this letter, quite an affinity and a remorse for not being able to travel there because of the shogunate government. They're really keeping a close eye on him, and they don't want him unduly influencing too many of their official state-sponsored True Word School of Buddhism that craps all over the Lotus Sutra. Nichiren wants to correct that. No. It's the Lotus Sutra. You people, because you're diminishing the Lotus Sutra, even though you may even read it, as he's saying, and look like you're knowledgeable, you're working against it. And that's what we mean here when we say enemies of the Lotus Sutra. We're not talking about armed to the teeth SWAT forces that are, although one could say with the samurai state and the ruling class of the shogunate, is very much like the enemies of the Lotus Sutra are SWAT teams for the opposition. That's not the whole picture, but it's certainly part of it. But he's also talking about people who you know, who are your neighbors and friends, who are steadfast loyalists, if you will, of the current government. And with it, of course, the philosophy, the school of Buddhism that they promote. And they will look upon you as, well, you're not like me, so you're wrong, right? Human beings. You must be wrong because I know I'm right, right? And if you make the same declaration back, they just laugh at you. Again, it comes down to your commitment to your own enlightenment and your experience. Because if you don't have enough experience, in other words, if you feel nothing, if you don't observe anything, the first thing you have to ask yourself is, are you really trying? Or are you just playing a game? Are you really dedicated? Are you really committed? Do you even believe that with no, there is no amount of a commitment that will make Buddhahood happen in your lifetime? That's just folly. I'll do it. I'll try it. You know, It's like the person who's on the Diet Coke diet but eats 14 burgers a day. I'm not saying burgers are bad, I'm just saying. Calories do matter. And cakes and flour and grains and if you want to commit, really commit. I challenge you to commit with a really internal fortitude of belief, expectation. This is why I tell you, if you're having trouble with that kind of doubt, that runs deep. And don't be afraid to go to your mandala and demand your Buddhahood, your Buddha nature, your Buddha wisdom. Give it to me. I need it now. Prove to me you even exist. Of course, you're talking to yourself. You understand that. But sometimes saying it out loud, you really hear your conviction. It sneaks in behind it. Because if you go to your Gohonzon and you say, I really want to feel my Buddha nature, do it now. Do it now. What are you waiting for? You get the picture? If you do it while you're yawning, you're saying to yourself, yeah, yeah, enlightenment ain't gonna happen. See, that kind of conviction isn't gonna get you far. You may yet experience it in spite of that, because that's how immediate this practice is. But you may refuse to pay attention. Yeah, things have been better the last couple of days, but you know, life's a roller coaster. That's how it goes. Then your commitment, your resolve, and I suspect that's how most of your life works. I had a teacher many decades ago who used to say, treat this Lotus Sutra of Buddhism, this teaching, this Myoho Renge Kyo, treat it like a college class. No. Many of us don't get to go to college, but you get the idea. Because in college, unlike high school, you can choose your area of inquisition. And that doesn't mean that you have to stay the course. Just because you take a class in art appreciation, it doesn't mean that now your future is working in galleries or auction houses or whatever. No, that's the beauty of college. Take an art history class, take an art appreciation class, and learn something. But at the end of it, you may go, well, now I know that, but it doesn't really appeal to me. Let me go look at applied mathematics or engineering or architecture or whatever, underwater basket weaving. Until you find the thing that really inspires you, that's what college is about, right? So he said, treat this like a college class. A semester is generally about 3 to 4 months. So dive into the books and commit yourself to getting a good grade in this Buddhism. Just like a class. I mean, really commit yourself though, like you would a class in college, because you're picking it. So why not get the most out of it, right? And if at the end of 3 or 4 months, give yourself a date. If you don't look back and go, wow, there are definitely some things in my life that are completely different now. I'm still living my life. I'm still a lunkhead when it comes to this. But you know, that's changed. People look at me different. Or different people are coming into my life, and people that I used to have around me no longer are around me. That's interesting. It's like the world has edited itself for me, like I'm an icebreaker going through the Arctic Ocean, and the ocean is moving for me. That's fascinating, right? That's actual proof. That's the kind of experiential practice that will deepen your level of commitment. Or it'll scare the crap out of you and you'll quit for a while, but you'll always know that thing that worked, right? So I thought that was an interesting way of looking at it if you're just starting out. If you're an old hat at this and you're having doubts, well, you've already heard what I have to say to you. And you too can re-begin with the kind of vigor of taking a college class to see, let me give this another shot for 3 or 4 months. See if I don't start to re-experience a lot of the things that I thought I'd already overcome because I've slipped back into my old skin. That's very powerful. Nothing's more powerful than what you experience yourself. No matter what I tell you, anybody tells you, no matter what sutra says that you're reading, you can get insights, but those insights will come through your experience. And this is what Shakyamuni said from the start. There is no manual on how to do this correctly. The correctly part is self-made. It's your ichinin. So only through your effort do you achieve anything in this Buddhism, or at least the profundity of it. You affect that. Only you. All right. So with that thought, that ends this Gosho letter to Konichibo about her son and her mother-in-law. Okay, I will let you go. Please give these words some thought. I'm sure you'll find your own aha moments in them, your own insights. Use them, take them to this appeal to your Gohonzon, your enlightened nature, your Buddha wisdom. Use this mandala. It's the ultimate tool to help you get there quickly, immediately. The only thing that gets modulated is the depth of your resolve. And so I encourage you, dig deep. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. I'll see you in the next one. Thanks so much for being here. Don't forget the Buddhahood podcast, available wherever you get podcasts. And you can download the audio to these videos and listen to them anytime it's convenient. I'm assuming they're of help with you, for you, if you're here. And I'm deeply appreciative of the opportunity to be able to do that for myself and for you. Thank you so much for your support, and we'll see you in the next one. Bye.